Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Pastor Atama Vakalalabure was born in Fiji and migrated to Hawaii in 2004. He's the First Assembly of God's young adult pastor and First Assembly of God's East Honolulu pastor. He spent 2 years on missions to East Timor to plant a church and do humanitarian work. It's that kind of heart, the heart for people, a heart of compassion, a heart of grace, and a heart of faith to trust in God to do things that are uncommon but so much needed. And that's why we have this program. It's to let you know, to share the love of Almighty God for you, dear friend. He who loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today, who touched the heart of Pastor Atama, is the same Lord who loves you and reaches out to you and can give you a new start, can work in your heart and soften a hardened heart, fill a heart that is feeling hopeless with the hope that is found in the Lord. And so today we hope that your heart will be open to Christ, and if you already know the Lord, that you would grow stronger as you're encouraged by this incredible story of Pastor Atama. He loves igniting and empowering young adults and future leaders and providing a platform for them to succeed by getting them involved in ministry. He's held Expressions worship nights and leads small groups. Pastor Atama is married to Melanie. They have 2 children, Richard and Isireli. Pastor Atama Vakalalabure, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Brother Dan. It's good to be here.
I love your accent. Where did you grow up in Fiji?
I grew up in the capital city, on the outskirts of the capital city in Suva, born and raised there, in a typical, not middle class, probably towards the lower class neighborhood, but yeah, that was my homeland.
What was it like growing up there?
Growing up in Fiji, there is a great sense of family, everybody's family. Your neighbor's parents can give you a whooping if you're not talking right. And I grew up in that kind of surrounding where it took really a tribe and a village to raise me, and that's what I was really thankful for, and something that I carry with me throughout my life.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Growing up, that's an easy answer. He was the man who basically really raised me, was my grandfather, my mom's dad. As I grew up as a baby, my grandfather took care of me. I was very sickly. And so since my mom had 2 kids before me, my grandfather said, you know, I'll take care of him. And to the point where I thought he was my dad. Mm. Until I was about 5, then my mom started to take care of me again. And it was just a weird transition because all this time I knew my grandfather as my dad because he would always buy me something, anything I wanted. I was actually named after him. Mm. And all my aunties till now, most of them I call them by their first names instead of auntie or uncle.
Because they were...
They were kind of like my siblings. As I was young.
What do you remember about your grandfather? What did he do, say? What was it about him that was so impressionable to you?
My grandfather was a pastor. And when I grew up, I knew him as a pastor. Then as I was a little older, I understood that he wasn't always a pastor or an upright man. He had a really rough upbringing. And so when I realized that and I saw the principles that he had taught me, it really impacted me more. We had devotions every night, 7 o'clock, no miss. And he would tell us to learn a new scripture verse every evening. And my two younger siblings always got away because they would get away with Jesus Wept. And it was a scripture in the Bible. But us older ones, we had the pressure of learning a scripture verse every time we met for devotions. And he always gave us time to share on why that scripture stood out to us. A lot of times it was just randomly picking one. But it really taught me something important about internalizing the Word of God. I still remember many of those scriptures still now.
What did it do, internalizing? You mentioned that. It's what power, what influence has internalizing the Word of God done to you?
Well, as the years went on and I got into my rebellious days, those scriptures spoke to me. I would remember myself saying those scriptures, and it really kind of sobered me up whenever I would think of getting back into my rebellious modes. And the Word of God never fails us, and I remember those scriptures, and that's what kind of brought me back whenever I would go astray. And it really has built the foundation for my spiritual life. That's what I really take away from what my grandfather taught me, is because I internalized those scriptures and through his teachings, I'm still a Christian today.
You're from Fiji,
yeah.
Grew up there, but now you're in Hawaii. How did that happen?
So growing up, my mom had divorced my dad, so we grew up in a single-parent home. My grandfather raised us, and later in the 90s, my mother had, after she had to divorce my stepdad, he was very violent. She had met this American. All we knew was mom met this guy at a banquet, and we just knew that they would converse over the phone, and he started helping her out with paying her rent for her. She had a salon, beauty salon. And before we knew it, she said, it's kind of getting serious, after I think it was a year and a half. They got married a year later. We lived in Fiji, and that's how we came over. My stepdad is actually from Hawaii, born and raised, Kalihi area. Mm. So later on, they made a decision that we are to move back, move to Hawaii.
What happened in Fiji that compelled the move?
Well, in year 2000, my country has been plagued by a lot of coups, and we're also made up of so many different ethnicities. One of the majority ethnicities is the Indian ethnicity, and there's always been tension between the indigenous Fijians and the Indian population. So in year 2000, there was a political takeover due to our country having our first Indian prime minister. A lot of differences were between the two groups and how he wanted to run the country. So our family business went on a downward spiral. We relied on tourists. We had fishing vessels. My stepfather was really into game fishing, and we had a store that's in the cultural center in Fiji. So when the coup happened, business went down, and we had to make a really hard decision of letting go of everything. And we actually lived comfortably having those two businesses, and that's where my parents had to sit us down and give us a talk about their decision to want to move over.
What was that talk like?
Well, it wasn't easy. We thought that, you know, our life was going well. But us being kids, we really wasn't aware of the finances of the business. So they just said, it's better for us as a family that we try and go make a new life for us. And we're going to try and get the paperwork done. And we want everybody to move over. And that was a little, you know, it brought us from cloud nine, because we went from having two parents. And at that time, my new stepdad was more like a more steady figure in my life, growing up without a father. So we were, you know, we were really nervous, and we really had to be praying throughout this whole transition, because we sold everything and we crammed into this small house in the city.
How many siblings?
There's six of us, three boys and three girls. And we moved into a house with one of my aunties, and she also had a child and also other cousins. So we, in a three-bedroom house, there was at least 15 to 20 people living there. So we had a few issues every once in a while. So it was really tough. It was a big pill to swallow, humbling experience for us.
Someone might think, okay, so dad and mom, they go, they're going to do the paperwork, and we'll be there, you know, shortly. Shortly for you was how long?
For me, in my mind, I thought within a year we would definitely be going to America. But it didn't take that short.
When we come back, Pastor Atama will talk about what short time really meant. It expanded more than a year, and more than 2 years. Mm. In fact, during that time, he was he had to live in a different location. Part of his education, actually, part of something that God was doing to prepare him for the work that he's doing today. In some ways, as I look at it, a blessing to teach him, to expose him to certain experiences. In some ways, maybe even elite. And God moves in some ways with opportunities that come about that he provides that we don't even expect. But he has to bring us from cloud nine to reality. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Pastor Atama.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jccy.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jccy.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. 484-2042. 484-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Pastor Atama Vakalalabure grew up in Fiji. He grew up in Fiji. There was a coup d'etat in 2000, and he's now in Hawaii, and now he's pastoring in Hawaii, of course, now meaning at that time he ended up coming to Hawaii. Over the course of time, he thought it was going to be a rather short period, but it lasted longer than a year, longer than 2 years. And we're going to talk about what happened in between the time when his parents were here getting the paperwork done before he and his siblings, he's the third of six kids, and he ended up coming to Hawaii. But God was doing some work in his heart while he was still there in Fiji. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. If you're tuning in right now and you say, hey, I want to catch this entire program, you can indeed do so at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And Pastor Atama will talk about a work that he's doing among young people called Explicit Youth. In fact, you can find out more about that at explicityouth.com. So longer than 2 years, how long were you in Fiji really separated from your parents as they were here in Hawaii, in the U.S., and you were still there in Fiji?
It ended up being 4 years. And any immigrant who's come to the U.S. knows that the paperwork is really intense and they need to do a lot of things. And we understand why, because we don't want people coming in and all that. But yeah, it took a while. My dad had to build up his income. He had to show that he could support not only him and his wife, but six other kids, six other dependents. So, we didn't realize it back then, but we were really frustrated throughout those years. It took 4 years.
4 years. And in that time, were you with your siblings or Were you led or forced or given the opportunity, I don't know how you would say it, to be elsewhere?
Well, due to this an event that occurred in year 2000, I started to feel an urge in my heart that I could do more for my community, more for my country, and that stirred in a hunger to be a part of this great school in Fiji called Queen Victoria School. Top all-boys boarding school. Many of our leaders, presidents, members of parliament graduated from that school. So I set my mind to it. It was really a lot of studying. In Fiji, we have a high school entrance exam, and we all have to sit that exam. If we don't pass, we go back to eighth grade. So I had to get a certain mark to be able to get into this school because they would choose only a few from different regions. So I put in an application and I set my exam, and in 2001 I got notice in the mail that I'll be part of this boarding school. I was overjoyed and I was really glad. It was something different, and I was able to kind of form my own identity now without being around just family. I was going into a new surrounding, and that's where I went to this boarding school, Queen Victoria School.
How did it help you shape a new identity?
Oh my goodness, it really gave me a foundation of what good work ethics are. I learned on my first week what discipline was looked like. We would get up at 4:30 every morning, get into our training. 5:30 we would be taking our machetes into the farms or cutting grass outside, no lawnmowers, and we planned our own food. So growing up in this military regimented high school, I learned what it was to be disciplined. I learned how to work with my hands, and I learned what it was to work around different guys. There was a lot of differences, but at the end of the day, we had something called a devotion time. And when we had differences or we had something we had against someone, we would stand up, voice it. That person would have a chance to speak, and then we would make amends, and that was it. Nothing mentioned, we move forward. So I really learned a lot about communicating and also self-discipline and also just the basic things that I took for granted, washing machine or having my aunties wash my clothes. You know, I had to wash my own clothes, hand wash with a bar of soap. So I'm really thankful. And another thing was our meals were very limited. We would have only a few scoops per meal, especially if you're a freshman and a sophomore going into a culture like that. We respect the upper classes. So everybody has their dish first. We have a bowl on a table, dish everyone else's food, and then we would get the rest. So I shed a few pounds.
Shed a few pounds and began to experience the longing, the yearning to become an upperclassman.
Yeah.
So you could have a few more scoops.
Yeah, yeah.
So you come to Hawaii, and what is your spiritual life like when you come?
Prior to coming to Hawaii, my spiritual life was after youth camps in December, every end of every year, I would have a three-month, let's say, just explosion. I would be on fire for the Lord, and ended up trying to lead Bible studies in my school because I had that upbringing. But I also started to compromise because I was surrounded by a lot of peers, and coming from a protected family, you know, with my grandfather sheltering us, I started to give in to a lot of ideas of what it was to be a man. So I thought drinking, getting involved in drugs, getting involved in illicit relationships. And so when I came to Hawaii, I was kind of like in a lukewarm stage, and there was a longing to either really just serve the Lord or go the opposite direction. I was tired of just going back and forth.
Our mental health, our mental capacities are also very important. Mm. Sometimes those things are hidden. I mean, you look at someone, they may look fine. We may not understand what they went through if they had gone through some points of trauma that maybe has caused them to slow down or maybe set them back in certain ways that are very much a part of them. Did you experience any kind of difficulties with regard to that?
Yes. When I was about 14 and during this movement in my country, I part of that urgency to want to give back to my community was from this experience. I got involved in this movement and this uprising, and I started to, you know, have this spirit of, you know, just standing up to anybody who has something else to say against what I believe. And after getting involved in this movement, towards the end of the movement, there was a clash. There was opposing forces. There was gunshots. And I found myself in this school being trapped and gunshots going off. And my brother was also on that property. And my memory was just like, will I ever see him again? Will I make it out alive? I started to think about my family. I started to think about, what am I doing here? And by the grace of God, I escaped. There was the school was up on a hill, and I would tumble a few hundred meters down, and there was a river down there. And a few other men who were kind of running away helped me along, and we ran away. And after a few weeks of being on the run, I was finally able to settle back into my family. But that experience really traumatized me. It after a few years following that, if there was explosions, there was kind of violence, or there was fights going on, there was that urgency to either run away or get involved. So it really affected me in my mental state. That's why I believe that I started to open myself up to new experiences apart from church. And I think that's what caused me to kind of go back and forth. I liked the thrill, but I was scared also, but I also wanted God and the upbringing that my grandfather had imparted in me.
That context, Pastor Atama, that context is in itself unique and yet in itself connectable because of the pull, of the tension of the clash of two worlds, two ideals, and then yet the mental and the emotional, the psychological and the emotional parts that we're made like that. Mm. God created us that way. How did you sort through or make sense within your own self? And we all have to do it in a way that's unique to us, personalized. Mm. How was it for you?
So with that experience, there was also just a longing to prove myself kind of thing. That's why I believe I got involved in that movement. That's why I believe I started to give in to temptations in high school. I wanted to prove a point. I wanted to make a statement. This is who I am. I also wanted to be accepted. I wanted my voice to be heard. And after those negative experiences, I realized there was nothing else that could really satisfy me. I needed a breakthrough. And coming to Hawaii in 2004, end of 2004, I remember praying and I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to give it one more shot. And you give me one more chance, I'm going to give you one more chance. I really need a breakthrough. I cannot just keep going back and forth. I also believe one of the reasons why I would go back and forth was not really having that identity that I long for, especially not having my father in my life. Came to a point where I had to realize that God was my heavenly father. Hmm. He never left me. He never forsook me. He was always there in everything I went through, and he had a plan for me. And when I came in 2004, I was on my knees and I was crying out during one of the church services. Actually, the first service, I walked into church and the pastor made an altar call, and I remember crying out saying, Lord, no more. No more going back. Lord, I need a breakthrough. It's either I get a breakthrough or I'm going to just live for the world. I'm tired of having that sick feeling that I'm not all the way in with you and I'm not really with the world. So,
being in a tepid place, you know, that lukewarm place, there's a sickening sensation that quells deep within the very the inner churnings of our heart and in our soul. That's where Pastor Atama Vakalalabure was when he came. He was 18 years old. He was desperate. My friend, do you feel a bit of sickening within yourself? Is there a welling up of desperation that's beginning to brew and boil inside your own soul? This could very well be a moment of a breakthrough for you. Pastor Atama experienced a breakthrough. No more of that, he said. No more of this going back. No more accordion-type lifestyle, expanding, contraction in terms of commitment to God. No. Everything else seemed to fall short. Is that your experience? If it is, this can be a moment of change. And God sent Pastor Atama to speak heart to heart with you. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Pastor Atama Vakalalabure is in studio with me today. He hails from Fiji. He has come from a very unique background, military-like training in his teenage years from 14 to 18. He understands what it means to have cultural conflicts, internal governmental conflicts, political difficulties, to say the least. A coup d'etat is something that he knows and he's been affected by. But he's here pastoring a church, part of the First Assembly of God, the East Oahu campus. And he's also a part of the Explicit Youth Conference, a growing dynamic ministry that's taking place, impacting many lives. Pastor Atama, as you explain these things to me, you know, I would think that it's the story of an old man, but you're a young man. A dynamic, vibrant young man who has a great future ahead in ministry, in leadership. What vision has the Lord placed upon your heart in this season of your life for what He's preparing to do in the days to come?
The vision God has placed on my heart is basically summarized in just two words: igniting and empowering. I really feel there's an urgency. There's an urgency to really empower this generation. When I view the church, I don't view it as this generation and the future generation. We're all one generation. Our older ones and right down to the youngest kid, we're taking ownership. We got to take ownership of our generation. And I've seen that there's been a lack of that, especially in my age group. We're just waiting for the next generation. So one thing God's placed in my heart is really to speak out into the young adults and the youth. It's like, you have to take ownership. You have to get involved. And I really feel a great joy when I see young adults and youth, and even men that I get to know, catch that vision and just run with it. And it's amazing how God uses some of the guys that I get to talk with on a daily basis.
How did you get to be a part of the Explicit Youth Conference program?
I met Pastor Michelle last year as they were preparing for the Explicit Youth Conference. And we were also having our own Young Adults Conference during that month. And I found out after the youth conference that it was just a big hit. There were so many lives impacted. And our youth pastor, really, he just said, it's amazing. We had so many conversations after that. And I said, you know what? If they have something like this next year, you know, why not do something for the young adults? It might be a little bit different with what the youth are going through, but I think this is something I want to get involved in. And I usually have a young adults conference once a year, but when I heard about this, I'm like, you know, I got to get involved. We can cancel our young adults conference. I'm in. And after I met Pastor Michelle and Pastor Marion, a good friend of mine, and Pastor Karis, they were saying, you know, we might do something for the young adults. What do you think? I said, I'm in. Didn't have to pray through it. Didn't have to think about it. I said, I'm in. We'll cancel this young adults conference that we're having, and we're going to join in and
join in.
You know, be a part of this kingdom movement.
Well, you, by doing that, you're all in, and you're not tepid. You're committed. When it comes to someone today saying, look, Danny, don't forget, before the break, you talked about this possibly being a breakthrough moment for me because I'm tired, like how Pastor Atama was, of being in that place of lukewarmness. What would you say to someone right at that the crux of life and they feel, you know, I need a breakthrough? What would you say to someone like that?
For someone like that, especially if you've been in the church and you've been doing that, and also for those who are in the world and trying to live for a cause, trying to form your identity, let me tell you, there's nothing else that can fill that void. And you just got to come to a place where you just get rid of what you've learned. I think you got to come to a place where you got to unlearn things sometimes. A lot of things that we pick up along the way really forms our worldview, and we're not open to new things. And so when I was at that point, basically either a breaking or a making point, I just said, Lord, I don't want to take ownership of someone else's faith. I've been living my grandfather's faith. I've been living my aunties and uncles' faith. I need to have my own faith. I need to take ownership of why I believe in you. And when I took ownership of my faith, it really propelled me even more, because I'm doing this because I want to do it. And it's not because someone else is telling me to do it. Mm-hmm. So you take ownership. You have to say, where am I going to end up in life? How am I going to impact the lives of those around me? And after unlearning everything, you just say, Lord, I'm here, an empty vessel. I'm a baby. Teach me your ways.
How did you meet your wife, Melanie?
My wife and I met at First Assembly of God. She was one of the youth that was in our youth group. We were basically the same age, but since I came after graduating in high school, my youth pastor saw that I've been in church, so he's like, you can be a youth leader. I'm like, okay, we'll see. So I was one of the youngest youth leaders at that time, just at 18, and she was part of the youth group. I noticed her straight away, and I liked her straight away, but she had a boyfriend back then. So anyway, we were good friends. Mutually, we had a good relationship, and it wasn't after one of the summer mission trips that we were part of together that I really started to kind of just pray, Lord, if this is the one, or if this a girl that's just like this girl, I really want something deeper. And we got closer in 2008 as she came back from college in Washington, and we got to hang out more because we went on that summer trip. We had something in common.
Mm-hmm.
Or that was my excuse to hang out with her and just talk about missions. She loved missions also. So we formed a friendship, and from then on it grew.
You talk about missions. Where have you gone?
As far as summer trips, if I could backtrack, when I was in eighth grade, in my rebellious moments, a guy came over me, prayed over me. He's from Australia, prayed for our choir. He said, you're going to go to the different countries, and you're going to come to your country and minister. And because I was really rebellious, I was like, not even. My parents are in America. It's hard to get the paperwork. I'm not even. I forgot about God's calling. And I thought, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know me. And after I came to Hawaii, my church is heavily involved in missions. And I took summer trips to Vanuatu. I went back to Fiji. And I went to Indonesia. God quickened that prophetic word on my life several years back. And I realized, like, oh my goodness, God is really fulfilling what he has spoken over me. So I've been to Indonesia, Vanuatu, part of this honor-bound trip. helping build churches and mission homes. And it wasn't until 2007 when I went to East Timor. This is near Indonesia. And I saw the condition of the people there. It reminded me of back home. And that's where my heart just really, I fell in love with the people. I don't know how to explain it. I just went on the trip because most of my friends were going. And I want to reach out, but I wasn't really all in. Until I was really engaging with the people. And I held this one baby. And I looked at this one baby and I looked in the baby's eyes and I saw the joy in the parents and I saw this baby and God quickened this thought. I love this baby the same way I love you, the same way I love your grandfather. My love for everyone is the same and I want everybody to come into my kingdom. My heart just felt so heavy for that place. And after that 2-week trip, I just prayed to the Lord, Lord, if it's your will for me to get involved more into missions, I'm in. Just work it out as far as our family back home, because we had a family business and I was really helping out in the family business. So that's where I really felt a heart for missions, when it was that moment God really revealed to me how much he loved people.
When you talk about God working in your heart, someone may be listening in and saying, that sounds good. But it's a little bit mysterious. How would you describe it to someone who's not doesn't necessarily always use that kind of vernacular?
You know, I believe that God doesn't need to necessarily speak through the Bible or just through preachers. God created us, and there's just that. I would say it's kind of like that sixth sense, if you want to put it that way. So to a person who goes through life experiences and you just feel a tugging to do more, I think you should look into it. And it might be to get to know more about people or more about God. Don't just discard that. That's how I could just explain it. It was a tugging. I didn't hear this one loud voice, Atama, this is how I just felt this warm love for these people. I can't explain it. So to someone who may not know the Lord or is not used to the praying and all that, if you feel just such a deep sense and longing to connect to people or love for people, look into it. And I think a church would be a great place to go and ask more questions when you feel that way, or it's a longing to get to know this higher being. And that's, I guess, how I could explain it to someone.
Atama is pastoring the East Oahu campus at First Assembly of God. He's also part of Explicit Youth, the conferences that are really taking Hawaii by storm. And Atama Vakalala Bure, we'll be back with more from him after a few moments. In this time where there's a moment of reflection, allow your heart to be open to what the Lord may be saying to you, how the Lord might be speaking to you, encouraging you, maybe a point of correction or realignment in your own mind, in your own heart. God works in these mysterious yet very unique ways with great power through people like Pastor Atama. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One of Hawaii's premier golf tournaments is right around the corner.
Friday, June 19th.
Jesus Christ is Calling You Evangelistic Ministry
presents the 18th annual Call to Hope Golf Tournament at Pearl Country Club.
Each year, golfers converge for a day of fun, healthy competition, great food, fellowship, and fabulous prizes. Enter your team today. Visit jcky.org to register.
Teams are filling fast. Register today.
Learn about special sponsorships at jcky.org. See why golfers return year after year.
Friday, June 19th.
Register at jccy.org.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, at times in life, when things happen that are way beyond our control, there's a mixture of feelings, and some of those feelings can be a feeling of fear, feelings of insecurity, feelings of frustration, maybe even feelings of anger, and sometimes feelings of bitterness, especially when certain moments of life come and you wish certain things were a different way. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Pastor Atama Vakalalabure is in studio with me today, and we've been doing just that, talking heart to heart about life. Him growing up in Fiji, coming to Hawaii, the family experiencing financial changes due to a coup d'etat that took place in Fiji, economic challenges, and him living in a boarding school for a good 4 years of his life, experiencing what it's like in a very regimented way that developed his character. But how do we deal with times when life... you're dealt a card, so to speak, or a hand. And how do you make sense of that in light of God? Pastor Atama, in this last segment, share with us how you dealt with moments when you felt bitter.
As I grew up, as you say, there was some circumstances and situations that I didn't understand. As a kid, I had questions. Why am I living with my grandfather? Why is he really just the one that's raising me? Why does my mom have to live away from us? And I realized my mom and dad had differences and they divorced. And I remember birthdays where I would wish, they would get back together. This was just a bad dream. And they would get back together. And when those wishes weren't coming true, and a lot of times when I would have parent-teacher meetings, my grandfather would constantly show up. I remember that I was really bitter towards them, towards God, actually holding unforgiveness in. And that's why I thought that, you know what, a God that loves me wouldn't really allow these things to happen. Not until I became older than I realized it's not God who brings divorce. It's not God who wants us to grow up in situations where there's a lot of hurt. I realize that people make mistakes, people make choices, and they just have to live with the consequences. So until there was this one time where there was this worship service and this song came up, and it's basically said, I have a maker, he formed my heart. The second verse was, I have a father, he calls me his own, he'll never leave me no matter where I go. I broke down and I cried out unto the Lord and said, Lord, I've been looking around in the wrong places for approval, to live up to expectations. You're my father, and you'll accept me just as I am. And I cried out unto the Lord, and until that day, I felt my life started to get a little better, and I started to get on the stairs to becoming a more godly man when I knew that God was my Heavenly Father. He knew, He sees every tear that I cry, and He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I truly see that God came through for me, and he healed my broken heart. He healed my bitterness to the very point where I was able to forgive my dad and was able to reach out to him. And our relationship was restored to the point where He was diagnosed with cancer in 2011, right after I got married. My wife and I had a little money extra on the side from the wedding. We flew there straight away, not knowing that the cancer was actually on stage four. And because God had restored our relationship, my dad was open to the gospel. And the week we got the diagnosis, that same Sunday, he came to church for the very first time. And that same Sunday, for the very first time, my dad responded to the altar call. And the following couple days, 3 days later, I had the privilege and the honor to baptize my dad with my grandfather. And I just saw how God restores. If he's my heavenly father, he'll take care of me. And he's going to restore and he's going to give back the years that the locust and the enemy had eaten up and taken away. The joy that I didn't have, God restored to me. And I'm just telling you, I am a happy man to being able to witness my dad come to the Lord. And God restores. I will never stop boasting in my Father, my Heavenly Father. And to those who are going through those struggles, you're living for approval and you feel you've been abandoned, I really encourage you. God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He's your Heavenly Father and he will restore unto you. You just got to cry out unto him. And indeed, the enemy will try to bring you down. But remember, there's one there up in heaven. None of your good deeds will keep you from loving you more or loving you less. He loves you no matter what. All you got to do is just cry out unto him and say, Lord, I need you.
Somebody's bitter and bewildered right now. Pastor Otama, can you pray for them?
Definitely. Please. Heavenly Father, I just come before you and I thank you so much that you are our loving Father. Your word says, O God, Lord, that if we call unto you, you will answer us. Lord, and it doesn't matter if we are in the church so many years or we don't even know you. Lord, you are faithful to your promise that if we call out unto you, you will answer us and you have a plan and a purpose for us. Lord, to those, Lord, who are out there who are listening, O God, Lord, and they're going through a really dry phase in their life and they've been through bitterness, heartache and pain, and it's really hard to make sense of what they've been going through because of their decisions or other people's decisions that have affected them. I ask you right now that as they're sitting wherever they're at right now, that your Holy Spirit will just touch them right now, that they will feel the warmth of your love, and that they will know that there is a Father who is in heaven that loves them. Lord, your word says, O God, Lord, that you demonstrated your love, that while we were still in our sin, still in our filth, you died for us, Jesus. And I ask you right now, Lord, that you'll just touch their hearts right now, that they'll feel your love, they'll feel your warm embrace, O God. And I also pray that you'll send people their way to help them walk right and live straight, O God. And we just thank you. I pray your healing touch be upon them. Mm-hmm. Release them from this bitterness. Yes. Release them from this unforgiveness. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor Otama, you name your son Richard and Isireli. How did you give him the name? Why did you give your older one the name Richard?
Well, you know, I was named after my grandfather, and it's great significance in my culture that we usually name our kids after family members. And as my wife and I were talking, what should we name our son? It came natural to me. The first name that came in my mind was Richard. And Richard is my stepfather's name. My stepfather became a father to six of us when he was 50. Mm. And there was so much transition and change, but he has been the constant pillar in my life. He's taught me so much. Apart from my grandfather, he's the second man that I have learned so many things of what it is to be a man, to stand for his family. And he wasn't really a believer when he met my mom, but how I saw him coming from that stage to giving his life and then learning how to father children. So it came naturally to me that I would name my son after my dad, because I wanted my son to have those work ethics and those principles that my dad has taught me. So yeah, I'm named him after my stepdad, which I call dad. Mm-hmm. And my second son, Isireli, we love the land of Israel. And that's always been a name that my wife wanted to name her son or her kid. So because that we're Fijian, we've called him Isireli. It's Israel in Fijian. So his nickname is Izzy. So it's been a blessing. He's been really easy. He's been really easy.
Is Melanie learning some of the language?
Oh, yes. My wife is really quick to pick up languages. She was part of a team to India, and She picked up the Hindi language. She even wrote in the language. So when we started dating, she's like, tell me a few words here and there. And I've taught her a few words. And she picks it up also. After we got married and we went to visit my dad in Fiji, my family fell in love with her because she just started saying things in Fiji. And so she's really good with language. And she's helped me also learn some Hindi language.
That really is a way to the heart. Let's say someone today is from Fiji. Give them a word of hope, a parting shot. We've got about a minute left in Fijian.
Aube ba yalungang katak kemni na turang ni beach maram ni beach ni barong sumengo. Au ngol chunga mai beach duanga nangon embedi tu yona kalo ni usulebe ko na nogumbula. Ko kuchyo men donambula embedi tu. Au sa mai tal tal chungo yawe. Aube ba yalungang katak kemdo. Garabu na kalo dokano mutui.
What did you say?
I just told them that I've come from a humble beginning, and now God's taken me around the world, and I'm a pastor now in Hawaii. If you trust your life in the hands of our King, He will take care of you, and He's got so many great plans. You know, one scripture that I hold on to my mind is, you know, God will do far more and abundantly and exceedingly more than we could ever imagine. I wouldn't have imagined doing this, and I love it. I have the best job in the world. I get to be a part of people's lives changing. So that's what I encourage my Fijian brothers and sisters who are listening.
When you speak at at Explicit Youth, what are you going to talk about?
Well, I'm helping in the background. I'm part of just the team that's helping out. My heart is you know, knowing what I can do and what others can do better. So we have a great leadership. Pastor Mary and Pastor Karis are going to kick it off in the first night. And Pastor Andrew, one of our fellow pastors, he's also going to be talking about what it is to be a man. So we share ideas here and there, but I'm more of the logistical guy. And, you know, that's what I find joy doing.
Well, from my perspective, a logistical man may be an amazing gift that you have to be used of the Lord to do, and so shall it be. And at the same time, I would say that you have an incredible speaking capacity that the Lord has given to you, and not just a way with words, but the heart, the passion, the substance to go along with it. Pastor Atama Vakalalabure, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Brother Danny.
And I hope as you've heard him that you were moved by his story and his insights. You can find out more at explicityouth.com. You know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And yes, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus as Pastor did in Fijian with others near you. And if you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do it, my friend? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a message set up for you there. To help us with your financial support, to make a donation, thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Partners. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Pastor Atama Vakalalabude, explicityouth.com. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.